And good morning, one and all, as we're getting ready here. Joshua chapter 21. That will be our morning's reading of his word. Joshua 21. Morning, all. Okay, we're live. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Okay, so please stand as we read his word together. Joshua chapter 21. Then the heads of households of the Levites approached Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they spoke to them at Shiloh in the land of Canaan, saying, "The Lord commanded through Moses to give us cities to live in with their pasture lands for our cattle." So the sons of Israel gave the Levites from their inheritance these cities with their pasture lands, according to the command of the Lord. Then the lot came out for the families of the Kohathites, and the sons of Aaron the priest, who were of the Levites, received 13 cities by lot from the tribe of Judah, and from the tribe of the Simeonites, and from the tribe of Benjamin. And the rest of the sons of Kohath received 10 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Ephraim, and from the tribe of Dan, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh. And the sons of Gershon received 13 cities by lot from the families of the tribe of Issachar, and from the tribe of Asher, and from the tribe of Naphtali, and from the half-tribe of Manasseh and Bashan. The sons of Merari, according to their families, received 12 cities from the tribe of Reuben, and from the tribe of Gad, and from the tribe of Zebulun. Now the sons of Israel gave by lot to the Levites these cities with their pasture lands, as the Lord had commanded through Moses. And they gave these cities, which are here mentioned by name, from the tribe of the sons of Judah and from the tribe of the sons of Simeon. And they were for the sons of Aaron, one of the families of the Kohathites, of the sons of Levi, for the lot was theirs first. Thus they gave them Kiriath Arba, Arba being the father of Anak, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah, with its surrounding pasture lands. But the fields of the city and its villages they gave to Caleb, the son of Jephthah, as his possession. So to the sons of Aaron the priest they gave Hebron, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, and Libna with its pasture lands, and Jatir with its pasture lands, and Eshtemoah with its pasture lands, and Holon with its pasture lands, and Debir with its pasture lands, and Ain with its pasture lands, and Juta with its pasture lands, and Beth Shemesh with its pasture lands, 9 cities from these 2 tribes, and from the tribe of Benjamin, Gibeon with its pasture lands, Geba with its pasture lands, Anatoth with its pasture lands, and Almon with its pasture lands, 4 cities. All the cities of the sons of Aaron the priests were 13 cities with their pasture lands. Then the cities from the tribe of Ephraim were allotted to the families of the sons of Kohath, the Levites, even to the rest of the sons of Kohath. And they gave them Shechem, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands in the hill country of Ephraim, and Gezer with its pasture lands, and Kibzemim with its pasture lands, and Beth Horon with its pasture lands, 4 cities, and from the tribe of Dan, Elteca with its pasture lands, Gibbethon with its pasture lands, Ajalon with its pasture lands, Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 4 cities, and from the half tribe of Manasseh they allotted Tanakh with its pasture lands, and Gath Rimmon with its pasture lands, 2 cities, all the cities with their pasture lands for the families of the rest of the sons of Kohath were 10. And to the sons of Gershon, one of the families of the Levites, from the half-tribe of Manasseh, they gave Golan and Bashan, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, and Beth Eshereth with its pasture lands, two cities. And from the tribe of Issachar, they gave Kishion with its pasture lands, Debareth with its pasture lands, Jarmuth with its pasture lands, and Ganim with its pasture lands, four cities. And from the tribe of Asher, they gave Mishael with its pasture lands, Abdon with its pasture lands, Helkath with its pasture lands, and Rahob with its pasture lands, four cities. And from the tribe of Naphtali, they gave Kadesh in Galilee, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, and Hamath-Adur with its pasture lands, and Kartan with its pasture lands, three cities. All the cities of the Gershonites, according to their families, were 13 cities with their pasture lands. And to the families of the sons of Merari, the rest of the Levites, they gave from the tribe of Zebulun, Jokneam with its pasture lands, and Kartah with its pasture lands, Dimna with its pasture lands, Naalal with its pasture lands, four cities. And from the tribe of Reuben they gave Bezir with its pasture lands, and Jahaz with its pasture lands, Kedemoth with its pasture lands, and Meheth with its pasture lands, four cities. And from the tribe of Gad they gave Ramoth and Gilead, the city of refuge for the manslayer, with its pasture lands, and Manaim with its pasture lands, Hezbon with its pasture lands, Jazir with its pasture lands, four cities in all. All these were the cities of the sons of Merari, according to their families. The rest of the families of the Levites, and their lot was 12 cities. All the cities of the Levites in the midst of the possession of the sons of Israel were 48 cities with their pasture lands. These cities each had its surrounding pasture lands. Thus it was with all these cities. So the Lord gave Israel all the land which he had sworn to give to their fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. And the Lord gave them rest on every side, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and no one of all their enemies stood before them. The Lord gave all their enemies into their hand. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Thus reads the word of God. You may be seated. Joshua 21:45. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. In this chapter is contained one of those tremendously great passages of Scripture that really should be part of our immediate use repertoire. It is a vital truth of the character and the essence of our Lord God Almighty. It is so important that we have this established in our hearts and minds by the Holy Spirit as a foundational reality against every attack of this world. This needs to be particularly embedded into our essence this very day. With all the chaos and the pandemic fear and the social upheaval that is attacking the hearts and minds of all the peoples, we need to know that God is our refuge. He is absolutely faithful in all that He has promised and that He is doing. This is so imperative that we will take it into the New Testament immediately as one of the bulwark mainstays of the Word of God. It is declared stalwartly by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 11 through 17. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 through 17. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, Take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is what this passage in the Word of God is to us. The fact that not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed, all came to pass, is the essential truth of the veracity of God in His Word. It means that we can trust Him, and that He is faithful in all that He says He will do. Excuse me. We can go through the entirety of His Word, the Scriptures with which we are gifted through His abiding grace and mercy, and we can mark each promise that we find as proven and true. God does all that He has promised. Those promises are fulfilled for us in Jesus Christ. And it will be proven over and over again throughout the endless course of our life in Him. God has given us so many passages like this one to encourage us when we are attacked by all those doubts and fears that fester and assault us. As this world conspires against us with all of its propaganda and its lies about the veracity of some nebulous deity who has claimed to save some and sentenced others to damnation, we can turn to this passage and see that the Lord is faithful and He is true all the time. All His promises are now ours in Christ Jesus. When we are assaulted and criticized for holding true and holy and faithfully to the Lord, even in the midst of the greatest earthly and pandemic calamities and social and spiritual collapse, we can find our peace and our comfort and our sustaining reality in the passages such as this one. It is our armor in the day of trouble and strife. It is our protection from the anxiety and the lies and the sniveling taunts of the minions of this age. We can stand firmly rooted in the truth that not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. We want to consider a few other passages that highlight this exact truth of the glorious nature and the faithful essence of the Lord God whom we serve. He is our loving and benevolent Heavenly Father because we have been made part of His family through the adoption that is ours in Jesus Christ. We need to know, without any doubt, without any frustration, without any hesitation, that God is faithful and sure in His every promise to His people. We are His people, His chosen nation, His family in Jesus Christ. His promises fully include each one who has received His freely offered gift of salvation by the death and the resurrection of the only begotten Son. Please open to Numbers 23, 19 and 20, and read along with me. This was the truth of God that was spoken by Balaam when Balak tried to get Balaam to curse the children of Israel. As much as it would have served to enrich Balaam, as much as he wanted to do so, he could only bless the children of Israel for the following reason. Numbers 23, 19 and 20. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. When he has blessed, then I cannot revoke it. This was a pagan prophet who knew that he could not control the Lord God Almighty. As much as he thought he could make the spirits abide by his sorcery, he was not able to control the plan and the purposes of God. He was forced to submit to what the Lord commanded concerning the children of Israel. This statement was from one who was outside the circle of God's nation. It is the reality of the one true Lord God Almighty. Despite all the plans and the designs and the schemes of mankind, nothing and no one can thwart or hinder the work of God. What He commands will take place. Whom He blesses will be fully blessed. Whom he curses will be completely doomed. He is not a man with all the foibles and the idiosyncrasies of our human thought and logic and whims of knowledge. He fully knows the end from the beginning, and he works to complete to perfection that which he has put into place. He will do it. We need to be set in that fact, firmly rooted in his word by the working power of the Holy Spirit. Next, turn to the 23rd chapter of this book of Joshua. We want to read how Joshua knew and understood all that was to happen. He relayed the promises of God for the good of his people if they would but abide by his commandments. As well, Joshua did not withhold the truth of what would take place if the people turned their back on God. He warned what would happen if the people rebelled and sought after the idols, the methods, and the cultural perversion of those nations surrounding them. This too was a promise from God if the people were faithless and shunned their covenant relationship with Him. The book of Joshua, chapter 23. Now it came about after many days, when the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies on every side, and Joshua was old, advanced in years, that Joshua called for all Israel, for their elders and their heads and their judges and their officers, and said to them, I am old, advanced in years, and you have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has been fighting for you. See, I have apportioned to you these nations which remain as an inheritance for your tribes with all the nations which I have cut off from the Jordan even to the great sea toward the setting of the sun. And the Lord your God, he shall thrust them out from before you and drive them from before you. And you shall possess their land just as the Lord your God promised you. Be very firm then to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, so that you may not turn aside from it to the right hand or to the left, in order that you may not associate with these nations, these which remain among you, or mention the name of their gods, or make anyone swear by them, or serve them, or bow down to them. But you are to cling to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. For the Lord has driven out great and strong nations from before you. And as for you, no man has stood before you to this day. One of your men puts to flight 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you, just as he promised you. So take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. For if you ever go back and cling to the rest of these nations, these which remain among you, and intermarry with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive these nations out from before you. But they shall be a snare and a trap to you, and a whip on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. And it shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. When you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will burn against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land which he has given you. This is something that needs to be so instilled into our hearts and our minds at this very instant in our walk on this earth. God is so absolutely faithful in all that he has said that he will do. We do not need to open our thoughts and imaginations to those doubts and those fears with which this age so blatantly and forcefully and relentlessly bombard us. We need to keep as the shield of our defense against all the angst and threats and lies and anxieties the truth as herein proclaimed. Not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. All have been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed. As well, we need to know that if we do turn our backs on the Lord, if we dabble in the things of this age, if we allow our hearts and our minds to be persuaded to compromise our testimony and our relationship with the Lord, in so doing, we will suffer that unyielding loss of our fulfilling rapport with the Lord. And it shall come about that just as all the good words which the Lord your God spoke to you have come upon you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the threats until he has destroyed you from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. If we turn away from being faithful to the Lord, we will give up that righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of our godly relationship. We will know only that sense of loss of fellowship and the emptiness and the futility of our aimlessly and ceaseless struggle to fill that emptiness of our heart. That is, until we once more call out to God to forgive us and to restore that fellowship with Him which is ours in Jesus Christ. Now please open to 1 Kings 8, 54 through 60. Here we have the declaration of King Solomon at the dedication of the temple. He made a proclamation that is still in place in our lives as the Lord's chosen people. 1 Kings 8, 54 through 60. And it came about that when Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven, and he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he has promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses his servant. May the Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine with which I have made supplication before the Lord be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God, there is no one else." This truth, that there is only one Lord God Almighty, upon whom we can trust in his every word and every promise, was further declared by the prophet Isaiah, as in Isaiah 42, 8 through 17. We must remember that the Lord spoke directly through the prophet. These are the very words of God proceeding forth to make such a vibrant and authoritative edict. Isaiah 42, 8 through 17. "I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass, Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing His praise from the end of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud. Let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare His praise in the coastlands. The Lord will go forth like a warrior. He will arouse His zeal like a man of war. He will utter a shout, yes, He will raise a war cry. He will prevail against His enemies. I have kept silent for a long time. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now, like a woman in labor, I will groan. I will both gasp and pant. I will lay waste the mountains and hills and wither all their vegetation. I will make the rivers into coastlands and dry up the ponds. And I will lead the blind by a way they do not know. In paths they do not know, I will guide them. I will make darkness into light before them and rugged places into plains. These are the things I will do, and I will not leave them undone. They shall be turned back and be utterly put to shame who trust in idols, who say to molten things, "You are our gods." Thank you, Lord God Almighty, that you have fulfilled these so great promises in our inclusion into the salvation that is ours in Christ Jesus. You have made His resurrected life to be our new life. All the old things, defiled by sin and transgression, are washed away by His blood. We are created anew in Him, now and forevermore. As the Apostle Paul so encourages us in 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9, Jesus Christ is our source of all that is necessary and put into place for our receipt of the promises of God. God has manifested the fulfillment of all His storehouse of heavenly promises in His beloved Son. 1 Corinthians 1, 4 through 9. I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given you in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you, so that you are not lacking in any gift, awaiting eagerly the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you to the end, blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The apostle further declares the faithfulness of God in all His promises to those who are redeemed by the death and resurrection of His Son in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 25. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 through 25. Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He who calls you, and He also will bring it to pass. Brethren, pray for us. In his letter to Titus, chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the apostle again highlights and emphasizes exactly why we can trust that all God's promises will be fully and absolutely fulfilled. There is no reason for us to ever doubt God. He will do exactly and copiously all that He has said He will do. Titus 1, 1 through 3. Paul, a bondservant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the faith of those chosen of God and the knowledge of the truth which is according to godliness in the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago, but at the proper time manifested, even His word, in the proclamation with which I was entrusted, according to the commandment of God our Savior. Finally, the writer to the Hebrews, in Hebrews 6, 17 through 20, concludes this morning's encouragement to anchor our hearts and minds in all the promises of God in our lives. We hold strong to the fact that our hope in God is secure and is effective to bring us through this life. It is His omnipotence and His omniscience and His omnipresence which will see us through to our promised perfection in His holy presence. Hebrews 6, 17 through 20. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of His purpose, interposed with an oath, in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. We, who have our anchor of hope in Jesus Christ, have the full weight of the faithful promise of God as the steadfast source of our assurance. There is no fear of God not following through with His every promise in Jesus Christ. He is our complete and eternal security that the work of God will be revealed in us and through us to all those who are brought into our spheres of influence. We belong to God now and forevermore. We have nothing to fear from any of the forces of this realm. So be it. Not one of the good promises which the Lord had made to the house of Israel failed. All came to pass. Amen. Thank you, Lord, and the Lord bless us all.